As I stand here tonight, I feel like maybe I have arrived in my life. Now, you probably wonder why I say that. I've got the first Father's Day present on my wrist that I didn't buy. And so, you know, maybe that's what life is all about. You know, none of my money was spent on this Father's Day present. And so, you know, I feel like maybe things are going my way. I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight, and I hope that as we study this beautiful song, Jesus is Lord. I love that song. My favorite part of that song is when the ladies sing at the end of it. And, you know, the echo, and just a beautiful song. And what a beautiful thought, and how great it is for us to be able to sing something like that. But what I want us to think about tonight is, when we sing that song, are we meaning what we say? You know, because what we sing, those are words that we're supposed to mean. Just be coming from our heart, and I want you to think about those. Before we get right into it, I wanted to share a couple of pictures with you this evening. This past Friday, laid to rest, my good friend James Karanka. His birthday would have been Monday, and he would have been 49. And I want to thank you for all of you that prayed for him and reached out to him. And he made an impact on my life, and I know he made an impact on a lot of other people too, and I'm thankful for the time that I had with him. Another person that I'm thankful for is Bill. This is a picture of Bill when we were in the Dominican Republic on a campaign a couple of years ago. And Bill has made a huge impact on a lot of young people here at the Henderson Church. And I hope that we think about that and we let him know how much we appreciate him, how much we love him. He's made a huge impact on Daniel, had a big impact on Katie too, and I'm thankful for him. I appreciate him so much, and I know that you do as well. The picture that you're looking at now is called Christ the Redeemer. And this is a statue that's in Brazil. And most of you probably have seen a picture of this. You've seen it before, and you're kind of familiar with it. But it towers over 2,000 feet above the city of Rio. And the Christ the Redeemer statue, it's fascinated experts and historians for nearly 100 years. It's the fourth largest statue of Jesus in the world. And when we look at that, we see that Jesus, the statue, has his arms open, as in he's welcoming people to come to him in Brazil. And what I'd like to think when I see that is that everybody in Brazil would go to him with his arms open wide, because that's the kind of Savior that we serve. And we look at these things and we see them and we see these symbols and we understand what they mean. But sometimes what we really need to do is examine where we are and where our hearts are and to see if Jesus really is our Lord. I noticed the other day I was in Cookeville, Tennessee. There's a cross there on the highway too, on Interstate 40. And it's a huge cross. It's 110 feet high, and it's some denominational church there has put it right on the interstate. And there's four in Tennessee. I don't know where the other three are, but I did find out that there's four of them in Tennessee. And when you look at that and you think about it, the first thing you think about is Jesus. And we think about how that he is our Redeemer. He paid the price for us, and because he paid the price for us, we need to be willing to serve him. Because I'm going to tell you, one day everybody is going to bow to our Savior. Every knee will bow to Jesus. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says there, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father." You see, what Paul is telling us is everybody is going to bow to Jesus as the Lord. Whether we do it here or whether we do it when this life is over, when it's too late, you know, that's up to us. But we have the opportunity to have him as our Lord. Jesus is Lord. I think a lot of times when we say that, we understand what we're saying. But I think a lot of times in our lives, what happens is Jesus becomes our Lord when we need something. In fact, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, the apostles were out on a boat. And the waves beat against that boat, and it started shaking it, and they were getting scared. And they went to Jesus, and they shouted for Jesus. If you got your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 8. And I'll read verse 25, their response to him and what they ask of him. Verse 25, and they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. You see, the apostles felt like that they were about to die. They felt like that all hope was gone, that there was only one hope for them, and that was Jesus. And so they went and they woke him up and they said, save us, we're perishing. And I think we're like that sometimes too, aren't we? When we don't know what to do, when we don't know how to handle a situation that comes our way, we turn to Jesus and we ask him to help us, and we have that great relationship with him then, and he's our Lord when we need him. But I want to tell you, we need him all the time. We need him every hour of every day. Not only when things are tough, when we're struggling, when folks are around us that don't know what to do, you know, we need him all the time. And then I look in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 22, you know, the disciples there, the apostles, they were kind of befuzzled there. And in verse 22, Peter, you know, they didn't understand what was going to happen. They didn't know what Jesus was talking about. Jesus had told them that he was going to be crucified, that Peter would deny him three times, and they didn't understand what he was talking about. They were still looking for an earthly kingdom. But when Peter said this to Jesus in verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. You see, he didn't know what was happening. He didn't know what he was talking about. But he knew that this was the Lord, and he knew that he needed the Lord. And I think a lot of times in our lives, when we don't understand what's going on, we want the Lord. He is our Lord then, and we're thankful for him. And we're thankful that we can go to him. You know, in Luke chapter 9, you know, there's the story there where they needed an explanation. They needed some reason to believe, something to hold on to, and they were struggling. And Jesus there had gone through a Samaritan village, and that Samaritan village, those people there had rejected Jesus. They didn't accept his teachings, and they didn't want to hear what he had to say. In verse 54, it says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? You know, Lord, do you want to take care of them right now? Do you want to take care of this problem? Do you want to reach out? And we know that you can. Are you going to do that? And sometimes we're the same way. When something goes away, we don't like it. We want the Lord to intervene. We want him to be right there with us. And we want him to take care of the problem or the trouble. And, you know, when we do that, we're not treating him as our Lord. We're treating him as something like a superhero almost. But then I think about John chapter 11. When you look over in John chapter 11, you'll see the story there of, you know, of the young the man that had died and how that Jesus came to raise him from the dead. And the apostles didn't understand. They didn't know what he was talking about. You know, they didn't know that he was going to be able to do that. They probably had some faith in it. But, you know, they looked at Lazarus, and in verse 12 of chapter 11, it says, the disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. You know, they thought he was asleep. They didn't understand that he was dead. They didn't understand that they were there, but they knew that this man needed to be helped, and they knew that Jesus could do it. And I think that's when we turn to Jesus as our Lord, is when we have a need. But Jesus needs to be the Lord of our life. He needs to be the Lord of everything that we do. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Simple question. Why do you call me Lord when you don't do what you're supposed to do? And I think I'd like that all of us to think about that question tonight. And let's challenge ourselves. And let's see if Jesus really is our Lord. Because he is the great God. He is the great Lord. And he needs to be our Lord. But it depends on what we do and how we spend our time. Now, I'm going to show you some statistics, a few statistics. You may not be able to see those real well. But this is a thing about college students and how they use their average day, their time during an average day, for full-time college and university students. When you look through there, you'll see that one of the biggest things they spend time on is 8 hours a day sleeping, nearly 4 hours a day in leisure and sports, 3 hours of work, related activities, and then educational activities, 3 hours. And it goes throughout their day. And you see kind of how their day is split up and how they spend their time. And it's easy for us to look at that and kind of criticize it and say, well, maybe they should be doing some other things. You know, we were that age once, and we understand what they're doing and what they're going through. Now, the next picture is somebody who wishes they were college age. And, oh, that's not it. That's some of my runners. There it is, Lance. Lance wishes he was college age, but he's not anymore. And so I've got some pictures to throw in here just to kind of keep you awake. But as we look at this, we see what college students, how they spend their time. The next group is age 55 plus. Now, I had to put Mike McCutcheon in there because he falls into that category. That's one of the better pictures I got of Mike. I could have shown you some other pictures of Mike. But I still owe him several. You know, when you look at the age group of 55 plus, you look at the way they spend their time, hours per day, things that they do. You know, they spend about 3 hours working a day, spend about 2 hours doing household activities. They spend anywhere from 5 to 7 hours of leisure and sports, and they spend about 8 hours of sleeping. So what you see is there that time is split up pretty well. What I want you to notice is that all of us, regardless of how old we are, have plenty of time to do what's important to us. When Daniel was growing up, and he's still growing up, when he was growing up, he would tell me he didn't have time to do something, but then I would notice he'd spend 2 hours playing video games, or an hour playing video games. I said, well, you got time to do what you want to do. And you know, then I'd find myself thinking I was busy, and I think, I find time to do what's important to me. And we all do. We find time to do what's important to us. And so, you know, we need to make sure that we spend time with God. College students again. There we go. Let's get to the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. You've got your Bibles open. Turn to that passage, because what I want us to notice tonight is what Paul says here as he writes to the church at Corinth. It's a challenge to us all. And, you know, he there was defending his ministry. He was defending the gospel. And in verse 5, he simply says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. They were defending what they knew to be true. They were defending God. But he goes on the latter part of that verse, in verse 5, and notice what he says here. This is something you may have missed. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. In other words, what he's saying is he was going to spend his time thinking about ways that he could serve God because Jesus was his Lord. Jesus was his Lord. Now, when he's our Lord too, we're going to find ways to serve him, and we're going to find ways to do what's important. And I want you to think about some things that we do when Jesus is the Lord of our life. We meditate on his word. We take time and we spend. Look in Psalms chapter 119. We're not going to read the whole chapter. But I want you to notice just some things that said here in Psalms 119. In verse 15, psalmist writer says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your way. I'm going to pay attention to what you got to say. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to let it sink in, and I'm going to make it real. Verse 23, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. He said, even if people come to me and they try to get my attention away from you, I'm still going to focus on what's important. And I'm going to tell you what's really important is serving God and putting him first and living for him. He goes on in verse 48 of Psalms 119, and he says, I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. I will meditate on your statutes. I remember when I was growing up, one of the first things we did in our Bible classes was memorize Bible verses. And I think most of you remember that. In fact, I've got a little plaque in my office of the Beatitudes that when I was in the third grade in Miss Milstead's class, I memorized those Beatitudes, and she gave us a plaque that we held on to. And those verses are so beautiful, and you know, we took so many verses and we memorized. I don't think today we memorize verses like we used to. You know, but we do need to meditate on them. We need to make them real, and we need to study. I think because our Bible is available to us on our cell phone or on our tablet and things, a lot of times it's easy for us to access it that way, that sometimes we don't spend as much time in the Word as we need to. But if we're going to have Jesus as our Lord, we're going to have to meditate on His Word. He goes on over to verse 148 in Psalms 119, and he says, "My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." Let's study God's Word, and let's let it sink in, and let's make it real, and let's live it out. Let's not just talk about it, let's live it out. Another thing that we need to do, if Jesus is our Lord, is that we give thanks, that we're thankful people. You know, of all the people in the world, we're some of the most blessed. My kids probably would tell you that I told them that more than anything else, because we are blessed. And we need to be thanking God for how good He is to us. In Psalms 118 and verse 1, psalmist writer says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever." And isn't that true? Isn't God good to us? Hasn't He blessed us? Haven't we been blessed far beyond anything we could ever imagine? Our God is good. And we need to be people who are thankful. And we need to be people who give thanks to Him and let Him know that we are thankful for what He's done for us. The next thing is we need to spend time in prayer. How much time do you spend in prayer? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, a verse I memorized a long time ago. Pray without ceasing. I think most everybody here knows that verse. You know, we need to be people who are prayerful, who talk to God, who on a regular basis spend time talking to Him. And if He's our Lord, we will. But we also need to be people who give. Who give. Now, I'm talking about money, and I'm talking about time. I think we can all look around and we can find people who need help. People who need encouragement, or people who need to know Jesus. People that we need to reach out to and to bring in. I think back to that Christ our Redeemer in Brazil and how Jesus has His arms open. And He does. He has His arms open for people in Henderson as well. And we need to look for opportunities to share His message with the people that we come into contact with. Because when we believe that Jesus is Lord, we're going to give. We're going to give of our money, and we're going to give of our time. I told you earlier, we have time to do what we want to do. Things that are important to us, we find time to do. When the new season is batched for its own, Katie and Courtney are going to be sitting watching it every new episode. They're going to find time to do that. You know, and my wife is going to find time to watch the Game Show Network. I've been so sick of the TV during this time where everything's been shut down. If I turn my TV on, I know it's going to be on Channel 74 because Kim's going to be watching those Game Show Networks. I used to wonder how she knew all these trivia answers and stuff, and it's probably because all her life she's been sitting around watching trivia shows and things. But, you know, we find time to do what's important to us. And let's find time for God. Let's find time. If we miss being here together on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights, it has been tough on us. It's been hard on us. But today, at least we had the ability to stream the services so that we could watch, to text each other and to email each other. If this would have happened 35 years ago, we'd have just been sitting at home, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have been able to communicate. We'd have had that phone tree that we used to have, those rotary phones that our young people don't know anything about. You know, we'd have done that. But today, you know, we're still able to spend our time serving God. And then the last point here I want to make on this is that we need to be willing to serve. We need to be willing to serve others. In Matthew chapter 25, that's a passage that we've studied and that we've read, and we're all familiar with it. And it's a beautiful passage because Jesus teaches such a message there that we need to hold on to. You know, he gives a story there in Matthew chapter 25. And when he gets down to verse 40, after he's given all these details, you know, talking about the final judgment, he says in verse 40, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about what he said starting there in verse 31 and going down through there. And he talks about how that, you know, somebody saw someone who was in need and they helped him. He says, when you did that, you helped me. He says, somebody who was thirsty or somebody who was hungry. We need to be looking for opportunities to serve others, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to seek and to save those which were lost. He came to serve. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And I think a lot of times that we need to focus, and we need to make sure that we are here to serve as well. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. And when Jesus is our Lord, we will serve Him. We will serve Him. We'll be willing to do the things that we need to share His message and to share His love with others. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 36, it says, as for the word that He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. In the first century, they knew that Jesus was Lord of all. You know, they declared it here in Acts chapter 10. And over again, you're going to see it declared that Jesus is the Lord. In Romans chapter 14, in verse 8, Paul says, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. We are His. He is our Lord, and we need to live like we are His children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22, Paul wrote, and he says, for he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You know, right in that first century audience, they understood exactly what he was saying. You know, if you were a bondservant, you were free in the Lord. If you were one who was free, then you become a bondservant of Christ. And they understood what he was saying. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 6, he says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. There is one Lord, and that's Jesus Christ. We need to give ourselves to Him. We need to submit our lives to Him, and we need to be obedient to Him. Now, when we think about these things and we read these verses, we see that Psalms chapter 19, verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Book that I've been reading, there's a story of a man who worked in New York City in an office. I sound like that commercial, New York City, you know, real southern there. But where he worked, across the street, there was a great statue of Atlas, who was a superhero mythology, who was strong and who was just a very strong person. And in this sculpture, he had the world in his hand. And here he was, this man who was just strong beyond words. You know, stronger than Damon Welch even thinks about being. You know, he was strong. And as he stood there with that world in his hand, you could see that he was kind of crumbling. He was giving in. And he would take people to that, and he would show it to them. And then if they were struggling whether to become a Christian or not, he'd take them to see that and let them look at it. And then he'd take them down the street to a church where there was a picture or sculpture of a baby Jesus or a young boy Jesus holding the world in his hand and keeping everything together and there not being any problem. And he said, I would say to him, you know, you can let the world weigh you down or you can serve the Lord and give Him your problems and give Him your troubles. When He's our Lord, when He is our Lord, He cares for us, He takes care of us, and He provides for us. And we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful that we can be His children and that we can serve Him. And I hope the next time you sing that song, Jesus is Lord, that you can sing it from your heart and that you can give him your burdens and your troubles, and you can be a child of God and serve him to the very best of your ability. Let's close with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being the great God that you are, and the many ways that you bless us, and the unlimited things that we benefit from you each day. We're thankful to be your children. We pray that you'll be with us and help us to have the right attitude. Help us to be servants that recognize you as Lord and serve you as Lord. Help us to meditate on your words and help our thoughts to be your thoughts, and pray that you will truly be the Lord of our life. And there's not something else that we have in front of you that takes your place, but that we see you as the Lord of our life. We thank you so much for Jesus and his willingness to come, to die on the cross in our place, to live here on this earth, to live the life that he did. Help us to be good stewards of all the blessings that we have, and help us to serve you as our Lord. In Christ's name we pray.